I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the free radio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt alongside Steve Sparky Pfeiffer inside the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Leroy Butler, Leap 36, will be in here in about 15 minutes from right now. But joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Hall of Fame voter, stated the case for Leroy Butler to become a Pro Football Hall of Famer earlier this weekend in Miami, Florida, of the Green Bay Press-Gazette. Columnist, longtime man covering the Green Bay Packers is Pete Doherty, and he's with us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Pete, appreciate the time and appreciate all the efforts you did this weekend in Miami.
No, thanks for having me. Where should we start?
Well, first, would like to start just...
Elgin Jenkins?
That would be a good place? No. What about B.J. Goodson and his...
Sure.
Playing in the NFC title game, far too many snaps. Pete, for you, first off, how was the process trying to state the case for Leroy? I asked you if it would be fun or if you were looking forward to it in that sense on Friday. Now that it's past you, just what were those emotions like for those 5 minutes?
Really interesting. As I said, in all candor, I was nervous about this all week, and it was kind of a sleepless night. It was funny. I was talking with another voter, Sam Kuvaris, who does, he's been doing the Baselli presentations, and he was talking about how the week was for him and how he didn't sleep at all on Friday night either. But once I started the presentation, it went well, and I just really enjoyed stating his case. It was actually a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. And the most encouraging thing was, the presentations are important. Don't get me wrong. They matter quite a bit. But the discussions afterwards are equally important because, a fair amount of the voters, they do their own work coming into this. So they talk to sources who they have around the league, who they trust and who have been around a while, and they ask them about all these guys. And so when the discussion starts, they do almost mini presentations where they'll say, hey, I really like this guy as a Hall of Famer. I talked to so-and-so. He competed against him. This Hall of Famer said, yeah, this guy's definitely a Hall of Famer. This coach said, this guy really gave us problems. I like him as a Hall of Famer. So there's all sorts of endorsements there. And I would say five or six voters immediately just boom, 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 popped in and basically endorsed Leroy, said they're Hall of Famers. So that was really, I found that really, really encouraging. Nobody spoke up and said, I don't think he is, or even, was skeptical about his credentials. So I think we laid a really, really good groundwork. The one thing I realized and I didn't fully appreciate was with the four safeties and with all these other guys at other positions in the queue, these offensive linemen, Hutchinson, Baselli, Faneca, who have been multiple finalists, it was almost impossible for Leroy this year. And that the fact that Paolamalu jumped to the head of the list, if you look at all four of those safeties, there's not a lot that distinguishes them. Leroy has the best stats out of all of them. Paolamalu has the Defensive Player of the Year award, and that counts for a lot. So that shot him to the head of the list. But the fact that Atwater got in really, really, really bolsters Leroy's case. I mean, it helps a lot because Leroy's numbers are better. I know I can find people who will say Leroy, people who in the league who matter, who will say Leroy was even a better player. And since Atwater's already in, that will carry a ton of weight. Now there's only a couple slots open next year, and there's all these, when Will Lyman's going to get in, and Lynch, the momentum for Lynch just came out of nowhere and really built up this year. And this was his seventh shot. I really think Leroy's got a great shot at getting in sometime in the next two or three years. I think he's got a really, really good shot. It was Atwater getting in was super, super encouraging. If Leroy didn't get in, Atwater getting in helps a lot.
I wish I could be as happy or as encouraged as you sound. I just don't get it. I mean, people have got the numbers and the stats all over the place here. Atwater to him. Yeah, Atwater had more Pro Bowls, but everybody says that's a popularity contest. Who cares? But now when we get to this point, now all of a sudden it matters. He's got more All-Pros. They were both on the All-Decades team. I mean, I can kind of see how this all works out between him and Atwater to a certain degree. I'm not going to get down with John Lynch, though. And Bart Winkler this morning said he's going to lose his mind if he gets in, and I am too. It is ridiculous to think that John Lynch, who's the third best player on that defense, maybe fourth best player on his own damn defense, they got to one Super Bowl, gets in over Leroy, who's an all-decades guy, three all-pros, and the second best player on that defense. I'm sorry, there's just absolutely no chance he should get in. Second of all, I really feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, that this is a whole deal of, well, it's your first time in the finalist room. You've been waiting 14 years. It's not going to be that easy. We're not going to put you in just that quick. Everybody else that's been in this room before you gets their chance first. That's how it felt to me.
Oh, sure. There's a huge element to that. And, you know, you got one thing that, you know, all of us have to understand, especially the people who feel the most passionate about Leroy getting in, is, you know, there's somebody on the radio down at Tampa saying the same thing about John Lynch right now about how he deserves to get in. And their argument is that they had dominant defenses over a long stretch of time, and there were the three great players. You know, Sapp, Brooks, and Lynch was the third one. He's in the ring of honor of two teams. He's in the Broncos ring of honor, too. I agree with you. Leroy was a better player. I don't think there's any doubt. I think one of the things that I'll be able to do is find people in the division. In fact, I already have. Who will say that Leroy was the better player of the two. So if Lynch gets in ahead of him, that just would bolster Leroy's case even more. But yes, there's a respect for the queue, for the line. And part of it is there's an arbitrariness to this, because why those two guys were ahead of Leroy in the first place, I'm not sure I understand, mm-hmm. except that I think the Pro Bowls give them bigger name recognition for voters, even for people who work in the league. So I think that helped those guys get to the front of the line. And that might be as big a thing as anything, because there's objectively, I don't see that there's any reason why they're ahead of Leroy. This is the way it's gone. It's funny. I had a lot of time to digest all this on Saturday night and flying home yesterday. And watching the game, I got to admit, I was really distracted watching the game, because I kept thinking about Leroy's case and everything that went into it. And I've already started working. I think I've got a really good plan going for next year. I'm going to start working on that, you know, starting this week even. So, you know, his case is really strong. But, yeah, there is what you said about the line and people waiting their turn. There is truth to that. That's the way the thing works. And, you know, it's been only five guys can get in every year. Mm-hmm. That's where this football is different than baseball. Only five. So if there's 12, like Peter King said, there's 12 or 13 guys that he thought were Hall worthy this year, but only five get in. And I mean, even he said in his write-up, he said he thinks all four of those safeties are Hall of Fame players. So it may feel unfair, and it probably is unfair in a way. But you know, this is the reality. We got to look reality in the eye too, and this is what we're looking at. And we'll give it a great shot. And who knows? Maybe we can get him one of those two or three slots that'll be open next year. I mean, there's definitely a chance, but the momentum for Lynch, you know, because the last 2 years, he didn't even make the top 10 the last 2 years. He was trending the other way. And then just out of nowhere, there was all these people in the room.
His team made the Super Bowl. That's what happened.
And that might be part of it too. That very well could be. I mean, the voters are human. And there are people in the league who, you know, there are scouts and former players who say John Lynch is a Hall of Famer. So they're, you know, it's not like they're just making this up and making out a whole cloth. I think their argument's weaker than Leroy's, but he's been a finalist 7 times, and there's a really good chance that I think he gets in next year.
I don't understand why there just can't be benchmarks across different positions of, look, if you reach these numbers or whatever the case may be, boom, you're in, you're a Hall of Famer, let's move forward. If you're an all-decades team, you're automatically in. Like, there's no discussion. Like, if you're a member of an all-decades team and your name, first all-decade team, you're going to the Hall of Fame. Why can't we just be plain and simple?
You know, I guess one of the arguments against that is, you know, what if you're a guy who came into the league in, let's just say, 95, and you had a great 10-year career. So you play 5 years in the 90s and 5 years in the 2000s.
Right.
And so you were in your best years were, you know, the 3 years on each side of the decade. But there was somebody else earlier in the decade who went to, who was five all pros in mm-hmm. that decade, because the voting is held, you know, in.
So those guys, are automatically in. That guy has to be argued for. Fine. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying others can't get in. What I am saying, though, is there should be some type of automatic that this means you're in. If you make an all-decades team, to everybody playing in the NFL, you are in the Hall of Fame. Others will have to battle in the room like we have for years. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I don't know how you could do that. Who would be the person to set the statistical benchmarks? It's just, you know, it's not – football isn't baseball where, you know, baseball is such a numbers game. In football, numbers mean a lot, but there's all the moving parts and there's more intangible stuff that matters. See, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I just – who would set the standard? It's just up to each voter, and I think we laid a great, great – groundwork for Leroy this year. I think the case next year will be really, really strong, and I think it looks really good for him. It looks great for him getting in at some point, but you know, it's just the queue builds up, and this was a year where guys in the head of the queue, except for Polamalu, because he had that Defensive Player of the Year award.
Yeah.
That's the thing that got him in. I love your passion, and I know you know you love Leroy, and we all think the world of him. And so, it's great that he's got these people backing him. But, you know, the one thing we all have to understand is there's people who feel just as passionately about their guys. Alan Faneca was like six or seven.
He should be in, too.
Yeah.
He should be in, too.
He's not in.
Yep.
And it's funny because I've talked to a couple scouts who were in the league at that time who don't think he was that good.
Yeah, like four holding calls against him his entire career. His entire career.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, then there's scouts who were in the league at the time who don't have a horse in the race who don't think he is. So you know, it's not a numbers game. So football's just the stats, except if you're a running back or a quarterback, or maybe a receiver. The stats just for everybody else, they don't tell the whole story.
It's fully subjective. I think that's the best way to put it. Right? It's very subjective.
It is. And so you know, and so think of Pacelli. Pacelli's got. You know, he shut out Bruce Smith, in one of the best sackers of all time, in a playoff game during a five-year period when Ogden and there was like, you know, four or five great tackles. He made first-team All-Pro in like three of those 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
There were like four or five of those great guys in their prime. But Sully's got a great argument. This was like the fourth or fifth year he's been a finalist he hasn't gotten in. So I'm sure, I mean, just think of the people in Jacksonville. So we do have to remember there are people like this everywhere. The problem, the bad thing with Leroy is that he didn't get in the room until his 14th year.
Very tough.
He didn't have the name recognition. He should have been in the room before Lynch and Atwater, and then he'd already be in. It took, you know, I sent a letter out two years ago to all the voters and said, hey, here are Leroy's numbers. It's just a one-page thing, half-page thing. And all of a sudden, he had never been a semifinalist. Just from that letter, boom, he's a semifinalist. He's a semifinalist the next year with the same letter. This year, he's a finalist. If that stuff would have been done 10 years ago, you know, we'd already been through all this. It wasn't, so this is where we're sitting.
Pete, so on Friday, I thought it was awesome when you were telling us about the presentation and then how you build off of it after the first 10 is knocked down. According to Peter King's list and his write-up, we did find out, obviously, Leroy didn't make it to the top 10. Now, for you, though, going back to next year in hopes that you're doing the same presentation next year, you said you're already working a little bit on what next year's write-up will be. How different is it from the case you presented this year, which was four first-team All-Pros, all-decade team of the 90s.
He had that stat, which only, who was it? Woodson was that stat, Dawkins, and what was the other one?
And Rondé Barber.
So Rondé Barber.
Corners.
That should have been enough.
I think that's weighed a lot. I mean, I think that caught a lot of people's attention. So I'll use that again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the presentation next year, amongst other things, will be very Atwater-oriented. He's in. So now I can say, hey, look at this guy. This guy, we put this guy in. He deserved to be in. Now look at this guy. Look at Leroy. Look how his career compares to him. And getting some people to endorse him. I'm going to call Atwater to see if Atwater will endorse him. That would carry a ton of weight if Atwater would endorse him. So there's a bunch of things to work on. There's more people in the league to talk to. There's just, you know, I don't want to get totally into the case, but there's just a lot. You only get 5 minutes, and then I got to close the discussion, you know, to say a couple of things because they always go back to you for the last word. But there's, you know, we've only, they only got just the nugget of the case. There's still a lot of things to fill in. There's a lot we can do. So I'm really bullish. I came away from this with Atwater getting in, super encouraged about Leroy's chances.
Seems very optimistic, Pete, and it is rubbing off, at least on me. I don't know about as much Stevie, because the vein
I'm
is
hot.
Flying out of his,
I'm
his
hot.
Head. Pete, I'm telling you, this vein is just right through his forehead.
I'm going to tell you, like, Gary Ellerson warned me ahead of time. He's like, dude, if he doesn't make it, don't freak out on Twitter and go nuts and everything else, because it's not going to help his case. So
no,
I did very good. I stayed off of social media, didn't really do anything on social media. I let every other listener go crazy, but I kind of stayed away from it. And I didn't lead the show yelling and screaming. I waited for you to vent, and now I'm done, because Leroy's going to get here, and I'm sure he won't want to talk about it. So,
you know, right afterwards, a few of us were sat around downstairs at the hotel, and we're talking, and Peter King said that, you know, he tells all the guys that he knows, the players that he knows really well, when they come up for the Hall of Fame, or he's on some committee, so sometimes, you know, when a player comes out of one of the committees, like a seniors committee, he'll give the presentation. He said he always tells these guys, look, don't assume you're going to get in. Don't expect to get in. This is such a highly unpredictable process. Unless you're a slam dunk guy, it's a really unpredictable process. You're probably not going to make it. He told a story of Chris Carter, whatever show that Peter was working for at the time. I think it was on HBO. It was, you know, Inside Football or whatever it was called. Chris Carter, the first year he was up, they wanted to follow him around with HBO cameras, you know, when he got the news. He said, now, whether you make it or not, because you might not make it. And Chris Carter's like, oh, sure, of course, do it. I'm definitely making it. So he had the cameras following him. He didn't make it. He didn't get voted in his first time. And he blew a gasket. They were outside at the hotel. The cameras were following him around. He just walked away from the cameras, jumped in the car with his brother. They drove off. HBO spent like $90,000 to follow him around, just to send the cameramen and producers and all that. And they got nothing out of it because Carter blew up because he didn't get in. And, you know, that was a guy who had a good career. He didn't get in on his first shot. Most guys don't get in on the first shot. Just a stat that I didn't realize. One of the voters said, if you make the final 15, you have a 92% chance of getting in at some point.
What did those other reporters think of Deion Sanders' comments saying it's getting watered down?
I didn't talk about it with anybody, and nobody brought it up, so there was no discussion on that.
From a Hall of Fame voter standpoint, did Andy Reid lock up his spot in Canton last night with a win?
Oh, I got to think so. He's done so well at two places.
He's 61.
He's a Hall of Famer.
We can't have him waiting 15 to 20 years.
Well, it's different with coaches that are eligible. I think they might have a 5-year waiting period,
yeah,
too. I think they do. So, yeah, so he'll have to wait after he retires. He'll have to wait 5 years. And, I don't think they'll be any problem getting
Pete, I don't know about you. I've watched football for a little while. You have forgotten more football than I can ever remember. I don't know if I would really be so quick to retire if I had Pat Mahomes as my quarterback. The guy's incredible.
I would go as long as I was upright. I think he is. He could end up being as good as anybody who ever played that position.
Pete, really appreciate the time, man. Appreciate all the work you did this weekend. And we know it won't be our last conversation. And hopefully you are only making this case one more time next year in Tampa Bay.
Okay, well, great. Thanks for having me. And I love talking about this and love your guys' passion. And thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Pete. That's Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. One of the absolute best when you talk about guys covering the Green Bay Packers for a really, really long time. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.